big question in business. Will today's financial crisis report have any effect on the financial world?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The big question in a moment. First, 51,000 more people filed for unemployment benefits last week. That's more than expected. But today's Labor Department report says a lot of the rise in jobless claims came because of Northeast snowstorms. It's 545 pages. The report from the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission hits the internet and bookstores today. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us live from New York to talk about what's inside. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
We've all talked about the crisis, obviously. What's new in this report?
Well, the book talks a lot about how much people get paid. On the one hand, there's the fact that the regulators had trouble recruiting finance people to work for them because, newsflash here, Wall Street pays so much better than the government. The other issue, though, is the idea that the way pay was structured actually encouraged people on Wall Street to take really big risks. I talked to Andrew Oranger this morning. He works on compensation issues at the law firm Ropes & Gray.
I think there is a concern that the incentives in the compensation systems did not align the interests of the institutions with the interests of the individuals.
In other words, the person making the deal would still get paid even if he or she were putting the bank at risk.
So, Elisa, will this report actually have any effect?
In terms of legislation, a lot of that was already passed with the financial reform bill. But a lot of how it'll actually work in real life still needs to be figured out. I talked to Matt Slaughter this morning. He's associate dean of the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. And he says it's things like,
what data are going to be monitored about financial companies, how particular aspects of the law will actually be implemented, and what that'll mean for the practice of the individual firms and the overall financial system.
And for all of those issues, it'll be really useful to understand what caused the crisis.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting from snowy New York City this morning. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
A report out this morning says home foreclosures fell in half of the nation's biggest metropolitan areas. Real estate data firm RealtyTrack issued its year-end foreclosure report. Does that mean the housing market's out of the woods? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
When I first saw the RealtyTrack report, I thought, hey, things are looking up. Foreclosures in Southern California's major cities fell by at least 17%. Las Vegas, down 7%. Then I talked to Rick Sharga, Senior Vice President of RealtyTrack.
We can't interpret too positive a spin on that just yet.
Sharga says foreclosure rates only fell because of artificial forces. Some banks declared a moratorium on foreclosures after the scandal over shoddy paperwork. Sharga says others are just too busy to launch any new foreclosures.
The lenders and servicers may just be stuffed to the gills with distressed properties already on their books and already in the foreclosure pipeline.
One bit of genuine good news: Sharka says loans made in the last year or so have a less than 1% chance of foreclosure, so things should stabilize once we get through the backlog. But Sharka doesn't expect that to happen until 2013. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher. Orders for big ticket items fell by 2.5% last month. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up only 8 points to close at 11,985.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The World Economic Forum continues today in the ski resort of Davos, Switzerland. Among hundreds of corporate and political leaders, Harvard University economics professor Kenneth Rogoff is there. The former chief economist for the International Monetary Fund was part of a workshop looking at global trade and currency battles. Kenneth Rogoff, welcome to Marketplace. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is the global economy out of the woods? Is it time to, you know, start concentrating on reducing debt rather than getting some stimulus to the economy?
Well, I think the recovery has reached a point where it's resilient but not robust. It happens like day follows night. You have a big financial crisis around the world, and a few years later, you start seeing countries default on their debts. But it's usually been an aftershock and not enough to shake off the recovery. But It's one of the reasons the recovery is not as robust as we're accustomed to.
Would you agree that this recovery is jobless? And if so, what good is a recovery at all if there aren't jobs?
Well, there are jobs. It's just slower. When you have a deep financial crisis, things are much worse for a couple of years afterwards, sometimes even three or four. That's what we're seeing. It could have been a lot worse. People forget that. We could have had a second Great Depression. We didn't. But the situation with the jobs is probably going to heal only slowly because we're growing, but we're not really growing briskly.
I want to talk about China sending its largest delegation there to Davos. It's obviously been criticized by this country and others for its stance on what some see as the undervaluation of the UN. What prospects do you see for resolution of this problem? Is it ever going to come to a head?
Not tomorrow. It's certainly not. I mean, the Chinese are very reluctant to do anything quickly. I think our trade issues with China are much broader than that. They include also intellectual property rights. As I understand it, the Chinese president came to the United States with promises like the government will not use counterfeit software anymore, as opposed to trying to enforce property rights around the whole private sector. So it's really a gradual thing, and everyone agrees they should do it. The leaders don't want to do it. It's happening very, very slowly.
Kenneth Rogoff, economist at Harvard University. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And finally, there's a big battle brewing in Dallas for Super Bowl 45, not just between the Steelers and Packers, but city and cab drivers are fighting over a policy that allows natural gas taxis to cut in line at one of the city's airports. Now, the city says the policy is a way to fight air pollution, but regular gas cabbies are threatening a boycott, which, if you think about it, would help fight pollution even more. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, tweeting at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The biggest landfill in this country is going to be filled to the brim in just 2 years. It's not like we're going to run out of trash by then, so what to do?
You're literally throwing money and energy into a big pit in the ground. There are dollars in trash. Trash is energy.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're talking trash, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.